This podcast is a member of the New York City Podcast Network at nycpodcastnetwork.com. Visit us to listen to over 250 amazing podcasts just like this one.
Japanese street style is some of the cutest and trendiest clothing in the world. Introducing Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing and Accessories, the hottest original and cute clothing company. We offer tops, clothes, accessories, shoes, dresses and skirts, and comfortable homeware that we guarantee you will love. Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing, super cute Japanese style clothing.
This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. I want you guys to follow me on my Instagram, which is BlackHog8840. On my Instagram, you'll have my bios. If you click on my bios, you'll see my Twitter, my Facebook, and my Twitch account, and you'll also see a link to my podcast website. Today, we're going to be talking about the riots, protests that's been going on in the U.S., and so we're going to get right to it. Thousands protest in New York City, reaching all five boroughs and the Trump Tower. The third day of the demonstrations over George Floyd's death, protesters blocked traffic, set fire to police vehicles, and scuffled with officers across the city. Alan Fior and Elise Ayabara. Now, if I pronounce your guys' names wrong, I'm very sorry. Thousands of demonstrators protesting the death of George Floyd took to the streets of New York City for a third day on Saturday, blocking traffic, setting fire to police vehicles, and scuffling with officers in simultaneous marches that raged all through all five boroughs and briefly stopped outside Trump Tower in Midtown Manhattan. Though much of the afternoon until well after dark, crowds of protesters holding signs and chanting slogans made their way through Harlem, the East Village, Times Square, Columbus Circle, Jackson Heights, or in Queens. The Flagstaff section of Brooklyn and portions of the Bronx and Staten Island sometimes seeming to move independently, but at other moments appearing to break apart, come together, and re-splinter in a way that tested the ability of the police to maintain control. Most of the actions were peaceful, with demonstrators raining burning sage at the police or shouting Mr. Floyd's name to mourn his death last Monday at the hands of a Minneapolis police officer. I'm not here to fight someone, said Eldon Goody at 40, who was on the streets in Brooklyn. I'm here to fight a system. But the protests became violent at intervals as people overturned trash cans, smashed store windows and set fire to police cars and dirt bottles and other debris at crowds of officers. By nightfall, there were dozens of arrests, including at least seven outside Trump Tower, where several protesters refused official orders to move out of Fifth Avenue and onto the sidewalks. No sidewalks, the protester there called out. This is the protest. We belong in the streets. One of the tensiest moments of the day, captured on a video that currently went viral, came off Flatbush Avenue in Park Slope, Brooklyn, where the police officers in an SUV were blocked by a throng of protesters carrying a yellow metal bouquet. As other demonstrators pelted the vehicle, a second police SUV with objects from the street, the car suddenly surged forward into the crowd. It was not immediately clear if anyone was injured, and a police spokesman said Saturday night that the department had no comment on the video. Mayor Bill de Blasio, at a news conference Saturday night, said he was not going to blame officers who were trying to deal with an absolute impossible situation. The folks who were converging on that police car did the wrong thing to begin with, and they created an untenable situation. I wish the officers found a different approach, but let's begin at the beginning. The protesters in that video did the wrong thing to surround that police car, period. The New York protests were a part of a growing wave of demonstrations, marches, and clashes with police from coast to coast. With the National Guard deployed in several states and curfews imploding cities including Minneapolis, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Atlanta. And Mr. de Blasio said that he will not issue a curfew, citing the effectiveness of the police department and what he characterized as a small number of protesters for a city of 8 million people. For most of the evening, Brooklyn was the center of the violence. On Bedford Avenue and Flatbush around 12:30 p.m., a large group of demonstrators confronted the police in a series of pushing pole street melees. Officers responded with bully cubs and pepper spray. The police helicopter flew low above the crowd, buffeting people with gusts of wind. After a 30-minute standoff, the two sides seemed to reach a truce, and some pressed with marijuana joints in front of officers who held their batons at the sides. But at 6:40 p.m., a shoving match between the police and a young man on a bicycle. Several officers shoved the charged the crowd, baton swinging. The police dragged one man away. The widespread skirmishes came one day after violent protesters erupted outside Barclays Center in Brooklyn, where some in the crowd had heard bottles and firebombs at the police. More than 200 arrests were made on Friday. As the city woke on Saturday morning to images of police officers violently shoving protesters and police vehicles burning in the street, Mayor Bill de Blasio denounced the previous night's events, issuing an urgent plea for calm by saying he understood the deep anger over racism and police killings that have spurred demonstrations. The mayor promised that any police officers who had used unnecessary force during the clashes would be held accountable, and he announced that an independent inquiry to be led by the State Attorney General's office into how the police had handled Friday night's protests. Any aggressive act towards the police were protesters seems the exact wrong message, Mr. de Blasio said at a news conference, referring to videos that appeared to show acts of violence by the police. We will not accept that kind of behavior. It is unacceptable. But Mr. de Blasio and the police commissioner, Dermot F. Shea, said that hundreds of demonstrators had come to the rallies on Friday night with the intent to brawl with the police. A firearm was recovered from one protester and a set of brass knuckles from another. Some protesters came with bricks and threw them at officers, Mr. Shea said. A Molotov cocktail was thrown at an occupied police van around 1 a.m., Mr. Shea said. Samantha Shader, 27, of the Catskill region, was arrested in connection with the tossing of the Molotov cocktail, was expected to face federal charges, law enforcement official says on Saturday. While the firebomb Mr. Shader threw shattered a rear window of the van, the officer inside managed to jump out. Even as the protests got underway Saturday, Mr. Shea said he feared it would be a long night. Everyone is upset, he acknowledged, adding, but when you look at how we go forward, I think we can all agree. The rational lines that are going forward is going to come from discussions, from protests for activisms, but not for more, from violence. Saturday's demonstration started around 1 p.m. with several hundred protesters gathering at Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard in Harlem. Calling out Mr. Floyd's name, the crowd moved down toward the 28th Precinct Station House, where it confronted a phalanx of officers with shouts of Black Lives Matter, No Justice, No Peace. Shortly after, the protesters made their way to West Side Highway, bringing traffic to a standstill. In Times Square, hundreds of protesters gathered blocking traffic and occasionally tossed in plastic water bottles. Some of the crowd urged African Americans to join them. Pushing shouts through the square, the police made several arrests. Charging into the throng and grabbing those was not fast enough to escape. This isn't a lawful assembly, one officer called through a megaphone. You must disperse or you will be subjected to arrest. In Union Square, a separate stream of protesters moved through the streets yelling, appalling and weaving among the cars. They were greeted by enthusiastic onlookers. One woman banged pops out the window of a public housing project. Other people met with the demonstrators with snacks, water bottles, and dollops and hand sanitizer. So many nationalities are coming together for the state of unity, said Markel Turner-Glimpress, a 33-year-old black man. It's quite moving. Anara Gonzalez, a 35-year-old woman from Spain, was one of the many white protesters with signs testifying to the solidarity with Black Lives Matter. Hers read, "White silence is white violence." These killings are a sign of white supremacy, and they are enabled by white people staying silent. Ms. Gonzalez said, "I feel a responsibility coming here because I am white." As a sun prepared to set, the mood near Union Square started growing darker. At Fifth Avenue near 15th Street, the police abruptly formed a circle. Tear gas canisters began to fly as officers hollered at the crowd to retreat and push protesters back on the sidewalk. Only blocks away at 14th Street and 4th Avenue, a group of protesters smashed the windows of a police SUV, then hopped atop at it as the officers parked and surrounded them. 4th Avenue. It's Union Square. As the night wore on, many businesses in Brooklyn and Manhattan were vandalized, among them a chopped salad restaurant, a Whole Foods near the Atlantic Terminal, and an Adidas store in Soho. The people looted track shoes and sweatbands. Protesters rode bicycles on Broadway near New York University through Big Sex shops, smashing windows of a Bank of America branch and other storefronts. One demonstrator criticized the destruction, saying, "We didn't come here to do that." I'm telling you, you have these ace provocateurs and these anarchists. It's making these protesters look real bad. I think it's a conspiracy. Shortly after 10 p.m., President Trump, who implied a few days ago that looters in Minneapolis could be shot, earning a warning of label from Twitter, took again to Twitter in support of New York police. "Let New York's finest be New York's finest," Mr. Trump wrote. "There is nobody better, but they must not be allowed to do their job." A couple of hours earlier on Bedford Avenue in Brooklyn, with smoke rising from a burning police car nearby, Captain Gabby Saliba, the commanding officer of the 61st Precinct, pleaded with protesters, "Don't throw things." Standing beside him was Mr. Gillett, the 40-year-old Brooklyn man who's echoed the message and warning officers would hit back because they don't care about you. Captain Saliba and Mr. Gillett then confronted a few more minutes in a rare encounter this week between police and marchers that looked more cooperative than antagonistic. While Captain Saliba walked away, Mr. Gillett said that he had two young children at home and did not want to see him or any of his neighbors hurt. "I'm out here," he says, "so they won't have to be out here." Interesting. Boy. Yeah, this situation is bad. The situation is real bad. There's an article here in the New York Times, and it says why Derek Chauvin was charged with third degree murder. Should have been first degree. There's rumors that these Mr. Chauvin, Mr. Chauvin, and knew Mr. Floyd for 17 years, but worked together for 17 years. But that's just a rumor. Why Derek Chauvin was charged with third degree murder. A document by prosecutors details how Mr. Chauvin, a former Minneapolis police officer, interacted with George Floyd before his death. Third-degree murder does not require an intent to kill. A still image taken for the video, courtesy of Darnell Frazier via Facebook. The former police officer charged in the death of George Floyd held his knee to Mr. Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes, including for 2:53 after Mr. Floyd became unresponsive, according to a document released by prosecutors on Friday. The The document is a statement of probable cause which used to support a third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter charges against the former officer, Derek Chauvin. The charges carry a combined maximum sentence of 35 years in prison. The probable cause statement also said that the preliminary results from an autopsy revealed no physical findings that support a diagnostics of trauma, trauma or strangulation, adding that Mr. Floyd had coronary artery disease and hypertensive heart disease. The combined actus of Mr. Floyd being restrained by the police and his underlying health conditions and any potential intoxicants in the system likely contributed to his death, the statement said. Mr. Floyd's family released a statement on Friday saying that the charges did not go far enough. We expected a first-degree murder charge, and we want a first-degree murder charge. A first or second-degree murder charge would require prosecutors to prove that Mr. Chauvin intended to kill Mr. Floyd and Richard Frosch, a professor of criminal law at the University of Minnesota. A first or second degree charge would require prosecutors to prove that Mr. Chauvin intended to kill Mr. Floyd, said Richard Frosch, a professor of criminal law at the University of Minnesota. He said that the criminal complaint against Mr. Chauvin did not identify any specific motive for officers to kill Mr. Floyd, which essentially ruled out stronger murder charges. A third-degree murder does not require an intent to kill, according to Minnesota statute. Only the Third-degree murder does not require an intent to kill, according to the Minnesota statute. Only the perpetrator caused someone's death in a dangerous act without regard for human life. Second-degree manslaughter requires prosecutors to prove that Mr. Chauvin was so negligent as to create an unreasonable risk and consistently took the chance that his actions would cause Mr. Floyd to be severely harmed or die. The charges facing Mr. Chauvin are similar to another fatal case involving a Minneapolis police officer, Muhammad Noor, who was convicted in the 2017 shooting death of an unarmed woman, Justine Rosnick. Professor Frost said the case against Mr. Chauvin appeared to be even stronger than the one against Mr. Noor, who was convicted of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. In the case, Professor Frost said that the officer had seemingly panicked and fired a single shot. There's a question whether he even had time to be reckless, he said, referring to Mr. Moore. Here, there's 8 minutes. The statement, which was written by Michelle M. Froxone, a special agent of the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, also subscribes how officers, including Mr. Chauvin, had come in contact with Mr. Floyd on Monday evening after responding The statement, which was written by Michelle M. Frozon, a special agent of the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, also described how officers, including Mr. Chauvin, had come in contact with Mr. Floyd on Monday evening after responding to a report of someone trying to make a purchase at a store with a fake $20 bill. Two officers approached Mr. Floyd and former high school sports stars who worked as a bouncer at a restaurant in Minneapolis as he sat in a car not far from the store. The probable cause statement said Mr. Floyd, who was in a car with other two people, was ordered out and arrested. But when the officers began to move him towards the squad car, he stiffened up, fell to the ground, and told the officers he was claustrophobic, the statement issued by prosecutors said. When the two officers arrived, including Mr. Chauvin, the officers made several attempts to get Mr. Floyd to in the back seat of a squad car. While Mr. Floyd struggled with the officers by intentionally falling down, saying that he was not going in a car and refused to stand still. The statement said, while still standing, Mr. Floyd began to say he could not breathe, the document said. Around 8:19 p.m., Mr. Chauvin placed his knee into Mr. Floyd's neck area, holding him down on the ground while other officers held his leg at times. At times, Mr. Floyd pleaded, saying, I can't breathe, please, and mama. You are talking fine, the officer said, as Mr. Floyd moved back and forth on the ground, according to the probable cause statement. At 8:24 p.m., Mr. Floyd grew still, the statement said. A minute later, one of the officers checked his wrist raw pulse but could not find one. Mr. Chauvin continued to hold his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck until 8:27, according to the statement. Yeah, so that's the article on why Derek Chauvin was charged with third-degree murder. According to this article and what's going on, there's a high possibility that a third-degree murder is not even good enough. It needs to be a higher charge. I feel unnerved doing this podcast. I feel unnerved. I don't know what to do, man. We tried to protest the peaceful way. We tried to do it the right way, and nobody has listened to us, and it's come to this. And if it doesn't stop, it's going to be a final form to this activity. 2020, man, the United States of America is going to shit, man. I don't know what we're going to do. Yeah, so, yeah, it's going to be a short podcast today. Next week I'm going to talk about, well, I'm not sure it's going to be next week, but soon I'm going to be talking about something else. Again, my Instagram account is BlackHoggy840. I'm an essential worker during COVID-19. I want you to go to my Instagram, BlackHoggy840, and I want you to look at my bios. If you go on my bios, you'll see my Twitch account, my Twitter account, my Facebook account, and my podcast website. Thank you very much, and please be safe during the protest. Thank you.